Blog Talk Radio.
Much for tuning in to the next chapter of Widows Ministry Talk Show, a ministry embracing widows. Our scripture read, and it's coming from 1 Timothy 5:3, honor widows that are widows indeed. That's meaning you are very special to God. He's always looking out for the widows, even though you may have lost a special loved one. He's right there by your side, help you to get through each and every day. And I am going to read on our website and the blog what the next chapter is all about. Might have a few new people online tonight, and I want you to know what this ministry is all about. And then I will go into what I'm going to be talking about tonight. The next chapter, Widows Ministry. Last year, September 15, by the way, we became 15 years old. It's a faith-based support group encouraging widows, and we're also not just encouraging widows, we're encouraging anyone that have lost a special loved one. We've helped others to join us, do the grief sessions that I taught in the last 4 months. So we have had others to join us on the air, going through their journey of grief as well. And this ministry helps them heal in the years after the loss of a loved one or their husband. And it's a dramatic moment for them, scary feeling, new widows experience, so many questions, premarital counseling, never prepares you for the lonely nights, headaches, and the many decisions. It doesn't matter whether the marriage was long or short, the loss from a long illness or unexpected accident, or how many money is or not in the bank. What matters is the person that you married, shared, secret with, made love with, laugh with, been angry with, and a host of other scenarios is not here anymore. The next chapter gives widows a unique connection with others who understand what his clothes are still why. Okay, understands why his clothes are still in the closet. In our book, A Widow's Touch, one of our widows expressed her feelings when she took out her husband's clothes for the first time. That's good reading to your and medicine to your soul. His name is still on the bank account. The grocery shopping is still so difficult because he used to do the shopping and you did other things. Widows are loved. God has a special plan to care for us because he says, honor widows that are widows indeed. He will continue to take care of you as well as your children. And nearly over 70,000 women lose their husband each year. A Widow's Touch, our first book, a collection of powerful true stories from 20 or more widows who have given their source of comfort to you to read. It allows the readers to find themselves in a character as the widow, the family member, friend, or someone mentioned. Readers can journey with the writer as they shared loneliness, frustration, confusion, and victorious moments. A journey of faith dries the tears and turns grief to joy. I know some of you said, to joy? No. How can it turn to joy the way I feel right now? Well, as you go through this journey of grief with us, one day at a time, you'll begin to get your strength again, and you will feel that way. The next chapter, we meet once a month. Normally it's at my home. By the way, put it on your calendar. The third Saturday is this Saturday. This Saturday is our third Saturday. We are meeting this Saturday at my home for a continental breakfast and meeting new people and encouraging each other. So it's from 9 to 10:30 a.m. So I hope that you will be able to come and join us and fellowship with us and also be embraced by others who have walked this journey for years and can encourage you that are new. So please come out and join us on Saturday from 9 to 10:30 a.m. So that's what I wanted to let others who are on the phone for the first time, that they know what this ministry is all about. We are here to walk this journey with you one day at a time. Well, I would like to start by saying that I've been gone for more than 5 days. I went to L.A. to visit with my son and his new wife, and they showered me. I went for my birthday, and I had a great time. He and his wife just showered. My girlfriend went with me, and they just showered us with so much love, took us everywhere. We didn't eat no kind of American food. We ate all different types of food, Korean, Mexican, you name it. We enjoyed it, and it was wonderful. God blessed me on that trip because I really needed some rest. So every day, we woke up late because, you know, L.A.'s 3 hours behind us, so I could never get that time together. So we woke up late every day, got up, and ate, we made our own breakfast because we stayed in an apartment, our Airbnb apartment. So, and then afterwards, my son came and took us sightseeing. His wife took off a day and took us. She works for Fox Studio. And she took us through the studio where they make movies and stuff. So we had a wonderful time there. We went. We visited three different beaches. We went where the famous, the rich and famous stayed down Beverly Hills. We went to Rodeo Drive. We just had a great time. We went up on the hill where we could take close picture up of the Hollywood sign. So you name it, we did it, and we had a wonderful time. So I rested, and really I could go back again and do it all over again because it was just a wonderful trip. And I just thank my son and his wife for a wonderful hospitality and love that they've shown us. So I am back, but I knew you were in good hands. I listened to the show while I was there in L.A., and Sheila did a wonderful job. She gave you lots of good medicine on financial. So I hope that you were able to grab hold of that information and chew on it, and not just chew on it, also to make a telephone call to her and let her be your financial advisor, because she gave you some good information, and she's been doing this for a while. So she knows her thing, and she's also a tax person as well. So if you need help there, please give her a call. Well, let's move on. Now, I did mention to you that I was going to start the stages of grief series. Well, I went looking for that folder and could not find it. I have so many materials and books and stuff that I have had over the years, and I just could not find that particular folder at the time. So you got to give me another week to get that together. But I have some other good news for you. Now, in the stages of grief, it does talk about, now, if you, like, for instance, if you start on the, it's like a mountain. You start at the bottom, and you work your way up on the hill, and you go up the hill, and you come all the way down, and you're going down again. So it's like an upside-down U. Now, the stages of grief is just like that. You can start at a certain point. At a certain point, you're going to be coming, you're going to be in denial. It's going to walk you through the different stages when you first lose your special loved one. But just knowing that you can go on top of that hill, you're going to be going, getting better as you go along, and all of a sudden, you hear a song that reminds you of you and your husband when you maybe in your wedding, your first dance in the wedding, or just some sort of jazz music or something that you both loved, or you heard something on TV that reminds you of your husband or your loved one, and all of a sudden you're up on the hill, and all of a sudden you just fall all the way back down again. That's where the stages of grief, that you can be going, doing very well, and all of a sudden something just comes and reminds you of that person and knocks you right back down. But just knowing that you can pick yourself back up and get back up on the hill and keep moving until you finally make it back at the end where you need to be. And we're going to talk about that once I find that folder and I can be able to, I hope I can help you get through that stage, that's let you see how your stages, and when you feel those different things, you know it's okay. That is it's normal that you're feeling that way, but you know you got to keep picking yourself up to get back up the hill again. So we're going to talk about it later on, but I have something else I'm going to talk about in the meantime. Another thing that I wanted to share too, the last time I was on the air, I talked about three different songs. Now, I'm not going to talk in detail about those songs, but I want you to know that sometimes when God gives you a message for someone else, it's not just for that someone else, it's for you too. So I'm going to tell you why I'm saying that, because one of those songs was for me. We talked about I Am by Jason Nelson, I Am. Then we talked about Jason Nelson again, Forever. I love that song. I can just play it all day long and all night. And then the next one we talked about was He Knows My Name by Tasha Cobb. Now, that's the one that will make you cry sometimes if you really listen to all the words. But anyway, that's the one I want to talk to you about, He Knows My Name. So pretty much that song was for me. When I went to L.A., I had a special friend who gave me her pass for the airline that she works for, and I was most appreciative. But, you know, there's always where you might not get on that first flight that you want to get on, and you might have to wait to the next flight. The next flight, I've experienced that I've gone to the airport and didn't get onto the third flight. So I prayed to God and believed in God that He was going to get me on this first flight that I had, registered for. And it was 7 o'clock that Thursday morning on my birthday. I was traveling on my birthday to L.A. And at 7 o'clock, but we had to be there by 5 o'clock to make sure that we got on. But I'm fast forward a little bit. So when I got to the gate, I went to let them know that I was a standby, passenger. And so she indicated to me that she would not know my situation until after everyone has boarded. And I was, as I was looking, and also she mentioned to me that it was a full flight. That means probably no seats available unless somebody didn't show up. But anyway, well, my friend, she prayed with me too. She told me the situation, but we both had faith that I was going to get on that first flight. So everybody started boarding. That plane was just packed to the max. I mean, I had never seen so many people boarding on one plane. So I sat there and waited, and then I got up when I saw most of the people were getting on. So I went to her and I said, what you think my situation is? She said, I'm not sure, but it's full, and it's four of you. No, it's five of you waiting. But I said to her, I said, oh, I hope I get on that flight. It's my birthday, and I really want to get to my son in L.A. So she did a shout-out for me. She said, on intercom, she said, happy birthday, Mary Hollis. So it was cute that the way she did it. So I was in a hope that she feels that way to get me on that flight. So I sat back down again, and then as I waited, then two of the five, well, the first two got on the flight. Then there was a code. Then this lady came back and said, there's a code something other. I'm going to use the word code blue. And I didn't know what they were talking about, but that was their language of saying something was wrong. So that mean that there was someone that took up two seats. So one of us was losing our space. So one of us was not going to get on that plane. So the three of us standing there don't know who was going to be the one not to get on that flight. And after a while, they called one other guy, and he went. And then there were just two of us left. Now, we had started talking together, the three of us. It was two young men that was there standing next to me. And we started talking. I was telling them this is my first time going to L.A., and I was going there for my birthday, going to my son. And so out of the three, one went, then it was two of us left. Then next, what happened was then they said we have room for one more person, and we both looking at each other. And I'm still praying, still haven't given up. So the lady at the gate there said, we have one more, and pointed to the young man. But the lady who was at the over there, the customer service that checks you in, she heard when the lady said, sir, you're next. She yelled out, and she said, no, it's Mary Hollis. Mary Hollis is next. So the first thing I could think of was that God knew my name. The only thing I could think of was that song, He Knew My Name. And I went running in there. I felt bad for the young boy, but I was glad to be the one to be called. And I ran down the aisle, and the other guy that came in front of me, she said, I felt so bad that you were not going to get on the flight. I was thinking about turning back around and let you go on, and I will just wait. But I was jumping up and down just like a child. And I said, He knows my name. He knows my name. So I felt that that song was for me because that's all I could hear ringing in my ears, that he knew my name. And that lady yelled my name out and letting them know that I was the one that's going to be the next one. And the young man did not get on the flight. But he was a young man. He could wait. I was happy to be on that plane. But I just wanted to share that because you have to have faith. You can't give up. And I did not give up. You said, you don't give up until the fat lady sings. That's the exactly way I felt. I did not give up, even though it looked very grim that I was not going to get on that flight. But I kept hope and believed, and God got me on there. And he also got me on the flight back. It was no problem getting back, but he's a good God. We just have to have faith in him. He can make impossible happen. Now, we only have 10 minutes, but let me share some encouraging words with you. But I wanted to share that because we have to have faith. We can't just give up. And we just know that God knows our name. He knows and he loves us forever. Just like Jason Nelson said, he'll love us forever and ever. That's exactly what he does. Even though that you're going through your emotional, maybe Mother's Day, he was not there to share Mother's Day with you. There are different things that you shared. He or she was not there. So just knowing that he got you through it. If you're not aligned right now, he got you through it. It might not have been so easy, but he got you through it. He will continue. There is no impossible situation that God cannot handle. He won't necessarily handle it your way, but he will handle it. Just one second. Okay. It is, just one. It will, what I wanted to say, where is it here? There is a saying, this is a Chinese Proverbs saying, and this is English as well, too. When you fall seven times, God will pick you up eight times. He will never stop picking you up. So how many times you fall and you go through these emotions, you cry all the time, he's right there helping you dry up those tears, just knowing that he will be there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God is so kind to do God is too kind to do anything cruel. Just because your husband passed, he was not cruel. I know we questioned him. I questioned him when my husband passed. Yes, I questioned him. It's normal that we do that. We are hurting so much. I mean, we just can't understand why this is happening. But guess what? Everyone dies. Everyone will die. And we have to try to learn to know and accept that. It is very hard. It's not easy. It wasn't easy for none of us. And many of us have, this is now more than maybe 6 months, a year, you're on the air. And you're still here. You've gotten through it. Each day, he will give you that strength that you need to get through it. There is no greater joy then the peace and assurance of knowing that whatever the future may hold, you are secured in the loving arms of the Savior Jesus Christ. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. You've gotten far. It might be only a 1 month, 2 months, 6 months, 1 year. Just knowing that he's gotten you past that first day, that day that you experienced that loss, that day that you had to go through that to the funeral and you had to go through that experience, he got you through it, and he will continue to get you through it. Turning on the light. Imagine walking through a dark room and sharply bumping your legs on the furniture. In a situation like that, the furniture is nothing more than an obstacle which must be avoided. Once you switch on the light, everything is different. That obstacle which always trips you is a comfortable wingback chair in just the right position for a quiet moment of reading a prayer. Much of life is like that. When we are in the darkness of discouragement, we don't see the thing that might trip our bruise. When we are hurting, we don't understand. We question God. We sometimes get angry with God. Things that cause the pain may have a much greater purpose than we have experienced. My pain, my loss, my 6 years of marriage became a purpose. I have now accepted, I accepted before, and now it's become joy and a passion for me to be on this air to encourage you to know that God is real. He promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. I am a witness, and as many of you are witnessing, you have witnessed this time that you have gone through this journey of grief. You've seen where he's made a way out of nowhere. He's dried up some of those tears. And also, he brought you to the next chapter, Widow's Ministry. And there's other ways that, and also some of you attend grief shares. All those things are ways that God is supporting you and helping you through your journey of grief. So just knowing that he is there and he will never leave you nor forsake you. It's been June 9th, it'll be 28 years. He's still supporting me and my children. He's still supplying my needs. He's still helped me through this journey of helping and reaching back and helping others. It takes the illumination that faith brings to reveal the true purpose of our Father, that our Father has. In your life, are those really obstacles, or would it be light of God showing you of something? The light shines, light does shine in the darkness. Sometimes God tends the brilliant light of a rainbow to remind us of his presence, lest we forget in our personal darkness his great and gracious promise to never leave us alone. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. I will not be afraid. Speak that. The Lord is with me, and I am not afraid to walk the next day, the next month, the next year. He will continue to walk with you, just knowing that he loves you forever and ever. His love is very unconditionally. The things that he's done for, just think about the things that he's done for you in the past when you had that strong faith in him. He got you through it, and he'll get you through this journey that you're going. That is all I have tonight, and next week, I hope that I can find that folder with all that information about the stages of grief. If not, I know where to get some copies. So I just wanted to share my experience the last 2 weeks when I went to L.A. It's been wonderful, and God is a blessing. He is such a wonderful God. And like I said, leave you nor forsake you. He's always there. In Psalms 118:6 again, the Lord is with you. And he said, just repeat, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid to walk this walk. And you're not walking it alone. There are people there reaching out to you, wanting to assist you and help you in any way they can to get you through this time. And just be strong in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Be blessed and tune in again next week, the same time, from 10 to 10:30 p.m. I love you. And good night. And don't forget to come to our meeting on Saturday from 9 to 10:30 a.m. We have lots to talk about. We've got to talk about the trip as well. It doesn't matter if you're not going on the trip. Still come and fellowship with others and join the and meet others, our new widows, so you can encourage them. Good night.
Where would I go without your hand holding me? And how could I live without you? I can't see. Lord, what would I do in life? Where would I go now? How would I handle things? All that I know is I'm